notified the umpires in writing their white wristbands would lead to fines. Yesterday, umps ended their protest, which was a show of solidarity after Detroit's Ian Kinsler wasn't suspended for comments he made about umpire Angel Hernandez. Kinsler was fined $10,000. NFL, the Broncos today named Trevor Siemian as their starting quarterback.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you three. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Three ways you could save 15% or more.
Two of the state's best high school football programs lock horns this Friday night on KGYN. Join Alex Kuhn and Gary Fickle this Friday at 7 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM as 3A number 3 rated Cedar Rapids Xavier travels to 1A top rated Iowa City Regina. Both the Saints and Regals made it to the Dome a year ago and start the season with this big non-district showdown. That's high school football presented by First Federal Credit Union. 3A number 3 Xavier at 1A number 1 Regina. Friday night at 7 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM.
It's time for some straight talk. Those big wireless companies love to dangle a low price in front of you.
That's all you see on TV these days, all their so-called great deals.
But then, out of nowhere, they hit you with these activation charges and mystery fees.
That's a line drive right to the family jewel.
There you go, and it's not over. Then they nail you with data overages every month.
Good luck walking those off.
That's why you should just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. They have all the best phones from top brands for a whole lot less every month, and without all the mystery fees and overages.
Okay, but what's the coverage like?
Straight Talk uses the exact same 4G LTE wireless networks that the big guys do.
Sounds like it might be time to switch to Straight Talk.
Best phones, best networks for a whole lot less.
And you don't have to wear a cup.
Unlimited plans start at $45 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
I'm Kyle Montgomery with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. No Drew Brees or Adrian Peterson for the Saints Sunday in their preseason tilt against the Chargers seen live on NFL Network. It didn't matter as the Saints beat the Chargers 13-7 thanks to rookie Alvin Kamara's 50-yard touchdown run. Martavis Bryant saw his first game action since 2015, catching two passes for 20 yards as the Steelers beat the Falcons 17-13. Bryant was suspended last season and is still waiting to hear if the NFL will reinstate him for the regular season. Elsewhere, the Redskins activated Pro Bowl tight end Jordan Reed from the PUP list. He missed all of training camp with a toe injury, but could play next Sunday against the Bengals. And Pro Bowl wideout Anquan Boldin is hanging him up. 14-year vet retiring just 2 weeks after signing with the Bills, saying he wants to devote more time to humanitarian efforts. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year mortgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 4th year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
How'd you like to enjoy the post-Fry Fest concert on us? Got your chance coming up before 7 o'clock tonight. All you're going to need to do is remember this number, 319-366-1600. When we tell you to call, be the sixth person on the line with Kyle, and you're going to be winning those four Fry Fest wristbands. Welcome back. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show coming your way on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, all across eastern Iowa. Don't forget, you can check us out online as well, kgymradio.com. Poll question there today, courtesy of our friends at Emil's Hideaway, has to do with the future of NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, who is rumored to be close to signing a new contract extension. Friday, we talked about James Franklin and his sweet new deal at Penn State. It's going to pay him an average of $5.8 million a year. Roger Goodell, how do you feel about that, especially if you're a fan of the National Football League? We want to know tonight. Share your thoughts with us at KGYMRadio.com. We're going to be talking about Chicago's National Football League franchise, the Bears, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago joins us. I understand head coach John Fox donned a pair of eclipse glasses today during his post-practice workout. We'll find out whether or not there's anything from today's practice that's newsworthy, but the Bears continue to trudge their way toward the sea. I can't imagine what it must be like for fans of franchises that know they have little to no shot coming into the season. Fans like the Buffalo Bills. Give me another franchise that just absolutely...
The New York Jets.
I didn't want to necessarily go down that road, but the Jets, and yeah, that's pretty much it at this point. But hey, you still got football to play, and there's some fun guys to watch on the other team as well. But look, last year the Minnesota Twins were terrible, and this year everybody thought they were going to be bad again, and here they are now tied for the wild card spot
with
in the American League. You say with
the Los Angeles Angels, correct?
Yes. Okay.
Another team that everybody thought was going to be terrible.
Oh God, I thought they were going to be just... We've got a coworker in the building who's a big Angels fan because he grew up here in Cedar Rapids, going to Colonels games, and he likes Mike Trout and all that. And I was like, "Whew, that's going to be a bad team this year." See, this is the price that I pay for the prediction that I made last season, in which I had the Twins finishing in last place. You get one prediction right, you get the next nine of them wrong. And boy, did I miss this season. Didn't see the Twins coming, didn't see the Angels coming. I was really high on...
Didn't see the Mets not coming.
Yeah, I had the Mets in the World Series. Which, for the good of pitchers in the Mets organization, please, somebody put them in protective custody. Steven Matz has apparently been pitching with discomfort in his arm all season long and is now possibly suffering from the same ailment that Jacob deGrom had last year, and it's looking very likely that he's going to have surgery at some point. That organization just cannot handle its pitchers, and I feel terrible for their fans. I really do, because that was a tremendous group of pitchers, and you got Harvey who's hurt, Syndergaard's on the deal, Matz is looking like he's going to miss a ton of time, DeGrom has been inconsistent since he came back from injury, and I don't want to make a Bartolo Colon joke, but you let Bartolo Colon go, and he's still... I mean, look, when you're that fat, it's hard to injure yourself. It really is, I guess. Bartolo is still plugging along with the Minnesota Twins. I believe I saw this right over the weekend. He became the first pitcher in Major League Baseball history to defeat all 30 teams. He finally picked up a win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think they were the last team that he needed to notch a win against, which is impressive when it speaks to his longevity. But I want to get to the Twins here, because not only are they playing great baseball right now at 63-59, and they're 7-3 over their last 10 coming into today's doubleheader against the White Sox, but they're losing Miguel Sano, who goes on the disabled list. He fouled a ball off of his leg over the weekend and is going to be on the shelf, it sounds like, maybe for quite a while, depending on whether or not he's going to need surgery. And Patrick Royce, who was a columnist in the Twin Cities, wrote a piece the other day basically blaming the injury on Sano's weight. And I don't know what it is about Minnesota, and in particular the Twin Cities media, but they love tearing their guys down, whether it's the Vikings, whether it's the Twins, the Wild. They love going scorched earth on guys. And I was talking to Jeff Johnson, the Cedar Rapids at the Colonels game, about this. JJ covers the team for the Gazette and is a big Minnesota Twins fan. I said, I don't get it here. And as JJ pointed out, look, Sano has been as big as he is all season long, and he's been healthy. He literally fouled a ball off his leg and injured himself. That has nothing to do, very little to do, with how much he weighs. The dude's big. He was huge when he was an 18-year-old kid in the Midwest League. And as you get bigger, you've got that frame, you're going to bulk up a little bit. And here come the hit pieces on Miguel Sano and whether or not his weight had anything to do with his injuries. I don't understand. I'm going to need somebody who has their finger on the pulse of the media up there to explain it to me.
Now, Jim Sohan is that how you pronounce
Suhan.
His name? Suhan of the Minneapolis Star Tribune was the one who wrote the piece. And the
quote, I'm sorry. My apologies to Royce. He's normally the hatchet man up there.
Now, the quote is, there are those in the Twins organizations who are concerned with Sano's weight, whether or not it contributed to this injury. So, was he hearing information from inside the Twins organization concerning Sano's weight? Because it doesn't seem to be something that has hampered him at all. He's playing third base at a decently well. He has shown enough longevity this year to get to this point and put up the numbers that he has. Was it someone within the organization
Why would they do that, though? Because if it's a question of trying to motivate him to lose weight, this isn't the way to do it. And it's not exactly a great business model to alienate one of your young star players who, the minute he is available to hit free agency, will most likely look for the first plane ticket available out of town. I can't see management doing that up there. This kid, and he's still a kid, as hard as it is to believe that, is what he is. He's a free swinger. He's a big guy. He's a defensive liability. He can hit a ball a country mile. Okay, sign me up. I'll take a guy like that on my team. Not everybody has to be a Gold Glove winner. Not everybody has to be as skinny as, Jason Hayward. Every time I look at Jason Hayward, I think he's going to blow away. This tall, skinny, but I don't get where I don't want to say hatred for Miguel Sano, the scapegoating. The Twin Cities media loves to scapegoat players, and it just looks to me like they're doing it here with Sano, and if the wheels come off for the Twins or something starts to go south for them, then this is all going to be Sano's fault. I already see the headlines here, and I don't understand why. He literally fouled a ball off of his leg and broke a bone. I mean, you can do that when you're 140 pounds soaking wet. Weight has nothing to do with it.
I think it's really combining two things that don't have anything to do with each other and trying to put together a hot take piece. I agree with you, Todd, but Suhan went on to add that according to his information, Sano's weight has gradually risen all season and is now well above what he is listed at 260 pounds, thinking that it might be around 280 to 285 pounds at this point.
Was he still effective?
He was.
Exactly. We saw this with Pablo Sandoval, right? Prince Fielder. Remember when Prince Fielder suddenly became vegan?
And he somehow got bigger.
Trust me, as a fat guy, I am telling you, let him eat. Let him eat whatever he wants. Keep him happy. Happy fat guys are productive fat guys for the most part in the sports world. You think John Kruk would have been as good as he is if people were on him to lose weight, quit smoking? I think Kruk smoked. Half the league smoked back then. I mean, it's a miracle. More cigarettes didn't make their way onto baseball cards back in the day. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Big weekend for the Cubs as well. They sweep Toronto at home. Cubs now 66-57. Got a 2-game lead on the Brewers, 3.5-game lead on St. Louis. Wild card race, at least in the NL Central, you've got the Brewers who are 2.5 back on the wild card and the Cardinals 4 back. I don't want to discount the Pirates because they're still very much in the race as well, 6.5 games back in the division and 7 back in the wild card. We talked about the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw earlier, 87-35, 8-2 over their last 10 with a now 20-game lead in the division on Colorado. And if the season ended today, the Dodgers they're so far ahead, but Colorado and Arizona would still represent the National League in the wild card series, which blows my mind. That tells you just how amazing this season has been for the Dodgers. And you're 4 losses in the postseason from seeing it go up in smoke. I mean, we've seen some really good baseball teams not win at all. And 2001 Seattle Mariners come to mind. I think one of my historically favorite teams didn't even win the National League pennant the year in 1986. The Houston Astros were probably arguably better than the Mets. And the Astros didn't even win the NL pennant that year. And it's just, Rob and I talked a little bit about this on Friday, just how fickle the game of baseball is. When you look at that National League, when I was growing up, that 86 season, the Mets and the Astros, both phenomenal teams. And the Mets went on to win the World Series, and everybody remembers Bill Buckner and Mookie Wilson, but they didn't win anything after that. And then the Astros couldn't get past teams like the Dodgers, and it's 2005 before they're in the World Series, losing to the Chicago White Sox, who, by the way, the youth movement is underway. And White Sox fans, how do you feel about that? Do you think it's a good idea to be bringing some of the youngsters up to the major leagues when you're 47-74? Or would you like to have seen them maybe try to hold off on some of those young players and bring them up next season? As we mentioned on the big board update today, Carson Fulmer, who got his feet wet in the big leagues last year, the 26th man in the doubleheader today making his start, Lucas Giolito, up with the big league club. Yoan Moncada certainly is living up to the billing. And oh, by the way, down in now AAA, you've got Michael Kopech, who's hitting 100 miles an hour. You've got recently promoted to AA, Eloy Jimenez, whom I talked to a White Sox fan over the weekend. I ran into my pal Marcus at Veterans Memorial Stadium on Sunday. And Marcus said, as a White Sox fan, he would have traded Jose Quintana to Chicago for Jimenez straight up. That's how much he liked Jimenez. And I said, yeah, I can see that. That one's going to hurt, because I think ultimately, no matter how good Quintana is and how much he contributes to the Cubs over the next 3 years, there's going to be a lot of fans out there that are upset in watching Eloy Jimenez become a star. And I really think as long as he stays healthy, that's the trajectory for him. Amazing talent. And the White Sox have a ton of it right now on the south side. And they're getting some of those guys' experience playing together at the major league level this season. And I guess, you know, I understand why they're doing it, but maybe it would be best served for them to keep some of those guys in the minor leagues this season, let them get a little bit more seasoning, and then look at next season. You're 47-74, and sometimes young players and their fragile psyches don't exactly handle losing well at the major league level. You start to doubt yourself, and that creeps in, and it's like a weed. And if you don't take care of it early on, it can just grow, and all of a sudden it's out of control. I've seen it plenty of times before, and I hope that doesn't happen, because I think, at least regionally, it's really good when both the Cubs and the White Sox are playing very good baseball. It doesn't happen all that often, but we've got a chance within the next 2 or 3 years to see that.
Are we going to see the rest of those guys get called up in September? Will Michael Kopech be making his major league debut in September? Will Eloy Jimenez, I know he's been hurt for a good stretch of this year, kind of getting his feet wet. You said he got called up to AA. Will he get called up to the big club? Because it looks like they're going against that ideology of, okay, well, we're going to build winners in the minor leagues. We'll bring them up when they're ready. Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams are looking like they want to get those guys experience in the major leagues in low stress situations when they already know that they're out of the race. So will they just bring the rest of them up? I didn't think Lucas Giolito was a guy that was really ready for the major leagues. He was really battling some issues in AAA all season. And Reynaldo Lopez was a guy that was brought up, and Yoan Moncada was finally brought up. Will they bring the rest of them up? That'll be interesting to see.
See, it's interesting because with a lot of those guys, Moncada, Lopez, Giolito, they got their toe in the water last year. So they had already been called up, and so it was just a matter of the White Sox waiting out the clock on when to be able to bring those guys back to the major leagues. White Sox, what do you want me to say, White Sox fans, about Michael Kopech? Because if I say he's going to stay in the minors the rest of the year, which I think is what should happen with him, if I say that, the opposite's going to happen. My track record on predictions is not very good at all. Because remember, I'm the guy who said Royce Lewis wasn't going to be in Cedar Rapids this season. No, the Twins would never do that. Hit a home run today and then couldn't get the ball back. We'll tell you that story before we leave the air at 7 o'clock tonight, I promise you. 319-366-1600. I just saw this on the text line, and I hate circling all the way back to where we started with the Twins. But 7854 says, a journalist will often use the term sources close to in order to state their own opinion and not have to pay ownership for it. That is flat-out bunk. And I'd use stronger language if I could. I have never known anybody, at least those of my close friends on the Iowa beat, to ever do that. When somebody says sources close to the team, it's sources close to the team. And they're not naming them because then they're not a source anymore. A lot of this stuff has to be done in anonymity. Otherwise, what's the point? So I'm not buying that, and quite frankly, I don't want to insult anybody here, but that's ignorant. So when he says it's a source close to the team, now the question, you have every right to question how close the source is to the team. Is it the trainer? Is it the owner? Is it an usher? I mean, I guess you can say they're all close to the team, but I know some big league beat writers. They have sources close to the team. And I've never known anybody in my circle to use that term to put their own opinion out there. That's ignorant. 319-366-1600. Ignorant and irresponsible. 524. We'll step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, Kyle will have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. How are we going to invite you to join our fantasy football league this year? What do you need to do in order to get in the league? And no, BJ and Marion, if you're listening, bringing us your mother's fresh, wonderful homemade tortillas is not going to buy your way into the league. 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
Iowa Hawkeye fans, this is Hayden Fry reminding you about this year's Fry Fest. Let's celebrate all that is Hawkeye together in Colville on the Friday of Labor Day weekend. Join Hawkeye fans and former athletes for this festive day-long black and gold celebration. See FryFest.com and join at Fry Fest in Colville on Friday of Labor Day weekend.
Presented by Midwest One Bank, Friday, September 1st.
Go Hawks!
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book School this week is to make your shopping easy. Iowa Book has added extra staff, extra cash registers, and is open extra hours. You can save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies and Hawkeye gear. Iowa Book is open this Monday through Friday till 9 o'clock. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book! One-of-a-kind bookstore.
Hi, I'm Linda Hass. Is your company's current payroll provider striking out?
Die!
It's time to bring in relief. Switch to Future Systems, Inc., the most trusted payroll company in the corridor. From one employee to thousands of employees, Future Systems has the experience and expertise to save you time and money. Call in the big leaguers at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809. Or learn more at future-systems.net.
It's only 17 days until the NFL kicks off the 2017 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every game, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Call 855-MEDIACOM to order now.
6936 on the text line. I wouldn't find it surprising if reporters did that. If you do that, you lose your job. It's very simple. If you do that, you lose your job. I am so tired. I am sick and tired of this. Okay? Trust me on this. You are not going to find anybody lazier than me who covers Iowa football. I've never in my life done that. Well, I want to put my own opinion out there, so I'm going to say sources close to the athletic department. And it's my opinion. And I know very few people who like to hide their opinions behind somebody else's firewall. Okay? You want to tell me that a Mark Morehouse or a Scott Docterman or a Rob Howe would do that? That is just absolutely ludicrous. And it's irresponsible and it's ignorant. Please stop with the fake news stuff. It's idiotic. People who are paid to report on a team actually do have sources close to the team. And they don't make things up. Good God. Kyle's in the studio with us now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs.
The Iowa baseball team won its first game at the World University Games in Taiwan on Sunday, beating Mexico 3-2. Things were tied at 1, and Iowa had actually been held hitless after 7 innings, but a rally kept by RBIs by Tyler Cropley and Brett McCleary gave Iowa all the cushion they needed. They're off today sightseeing in Taiwan, but will take on Russia tomorrow. The first AP Top 25 poll was released today, and neither Iowa nor Iowa State received any votes. Alabama is your preseason number one, with Ohio State coming in as the Big Ten's top-ranked team at number two, along with Penn State 6th, Wisconsin 9th, and Michigan 11th. Oklahoma tops the Big 12 at number 7. The Colonels beat the Beloit Snappers 3 times over the weekend and announced a roster move today before going for the sweep in a noon game at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Pitcher Tyler Wells is back with the team after a stint with the Gulf Coast League Twins, and Evan Sanders is headed to the 7-day DL. The Colonels did finish the 4-game sweep this afternoon, led by Royce Lewis notching his first home run. They won 5-4 and are hitting the road to begin a series with the Kane County Cougars tomorrow. The Twins have another doubleheader today. They're playing Game 1 with the White Sox right now. The White Sox lead that one 2-1 in the bottom of the 4th, and we'll pick up Game 2, scheduled to start right after our show. It's going to be Dylan Gee on the hill for the Twins, and Carson Fulmer called up as the 26th man to make his season debut for the Sox. You'll be able to hear that on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
High school football coverage kicking off this week. Do you have a game this week?
I do, and it's okay. A good one. Cedar Rapids Xavier taking on Iowa City Regina.
Okay. Sources close to me say that's going to be a hell of a game.
Your sources are correct.
The
see?
Source was Alex. Anyway, KGYMRadio.com is the place to go to keep up on the schedule of high school broadcasts this fall. Or you can stop out when we're out and about places like the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City and pick up the handy magnet schedules. Here's the best part about the magnets. They're big. They cover a lot of area. They will keep something held to your refrigerator at home. I have magnets at home on the refrigerator that they barely function. I don't even know why they're on the refrigerator. This thing is going to keep whatever shopping list or family photo or Christmas card. You have Christmas cards. You guys are single. You don't have. You still have some Christmas cards on the refrigerator at home. It's August 21st.
When I get my first Christmas card, is that the sign that I'm getting old?
Sort of. I don't know. What is it, family?
I've never received one, so I'm just wondering.
You've never received a Christmas card?
Well, my family does at home, but okay. Not myself. No one has ever mailed me a Christmas card to the residence that I was that I was living at by myself.
Okay, you guys have a little over 4 months to get this done. You're going to bombard Alex with Christmas cards this year in care of KGYM Radio, 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It's the Coon Christmas Card Extravaganza. Please spell Christmas and cards with C's. I don't want
the
letters.
K-C-C-E.
There you go. That's a radio station somewhere, I'm sure. Speaking of radio stations, 670 The Score in Chicago happens to be one of those. We've got Chris Emma joining us next. We'll talk a little Chicago Bears football.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, voted best IT support company in the Corridor Business Journal. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet, and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223, 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. This is what you need to know. Alabama is number one in the Associated Press preseason college football poll for the second consecutive season and third in 5 years. Ohio State came in at number two, Florida State third, fourth, USC, and defending national champion Clemson ranked fifth. There are a few teams outside the top 10 with the potential to make the college football playoff, says ESPN's Reese Davis.
I really like Stanford's chances. Again, they get USC early and they get Washington late at home. If Florida and Miami come up with outstanding quarterback play, then those two teams can do it, especially, I think, Miami with the veteran people.
Reese Davis on the Russillo Show. Red Sox first baseman Mitch Moreland won't play tonight against the Indians because of a neck issue. Brock Holt will start at first base. NFL, the Broncos named Trevor Siemian as their starting quarterback. The league announced Jets linebacker Darren Lee won't be disciplined for a June altercation with his girlfriend, cited insufficient evidence to support a finding of a violation of the personal conduct policy.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe great performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why there's Valvoline Max Life. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline Max Life to treat the hidden signs of aging and help extend the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. For DIY tips, hot rides, cool merch, and exclusive content, head over to TeamValvoline.com. Join for free today.
Summer involves a lot of driving. To camp, to work, to the pool, back home to get what they forgot, then back to the pool again. Wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? With Hum by Verizon, you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, have peace of mind with emergency assistance, and get expert advice from certified mechanics. Hum is the smarter, more connected way to get where you're going. Right now, buy HumX and get a $50 Visa prepaid card. Learn more at hum.com. Offer valid 6/1 through 9/4 device payment plan or 2-year agreement required. See VZW.com for details.
For a great shave at a great price, make the smarter choice. Join Dollar Shave Club. Use their executive razor with their Dr. Carver shave butter for a smooth, precise shave. And for a limited time, new members can get their first month of the executive razor with a tube of Dr. Carver shave butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. And you can only get this offer at dollarshaveclub.com/Jones. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Jones.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
5:36, welcome back in the Todd Brolelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight on all three frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM all across eastern Iowa. Coming up in hour number three, we're going to take your input on how we should be inviting you to our listener fantasy football league this year. Yes, we're doing it again. A big thank you to our friends at Imon Communications for jumping on board with us. Also for sponsoring Chris Liss of rotowire.com on the Gym Class with Scott and Mark, and Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. Good God, tell me that we have Tristan still.
Oh, we've got Tristan still.
I was concerned there for a second.
He might join us later this week. If not, he will join us weekly on Wednesday starting next
week. We've got to talk to him before draft season. That's a must. We've got to figure out where to take Mike Glennon in my I am in a two quarterback league, and I guarantee you someone will draft Mike Glennon. But I've had my fair share of Bears quarterbacks in that league before. It usually doesn't work out very well. Kyle Orton joining us now on the program, a guy who's very familiar with all of those Bears quarterbacks, including Mike Glennon and Mitchell Trubisky. It's Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago. Chris, how you doing? Happy Eclipse Day.
Todd, Alex, good to be with you. Happy Eclipse Day to you, too. I wasn't really sure what to expect today. I don't really know if that was supposed to meet or surpass or fall short of my expectations, but that is an eclipse day in the books.
Did John Fox really put the glasses on during the news conference today to check out the sun?
Yes, he did, and while all the rest of football coaches, and not just at the NFL level, but all across football and college are denouncing the eclipse and its importance and just pretending like it doesn't matter, there was John Fox with his glasses on. He was talking about the eclipse. I think he's fascinated by it. Others, not so much. John Harbaugh, I saw a couple days ago, saying he was unimpressed that it could only be 80% blockage when he's looking for 100% blockage. So John Fox is into the action, others not so much.
Chris, the quarterback situation has been clearly a hot topic in Chicago so far, and Mike Glennon struggling a little bit in his first two games, was a little bit better in the second game against the Arizona Cardinals. Mitch Trubisky playing against third team competition has looked very good in those first couple of games. My question for you, is this a legitimate controversy yet?
Right now, at present day, no. But, you know, the Bears could come back Wednesday for practice with a different look. And John Fox said that the team is yet to settle on reps divide for this week of practice. And then moving forward into Sunday, that third preseason game in which the starters play three quarters, you could see the Bears call an audible in a way where Mitchell Trubisky does get some of the reps with that first team unit in practice. And then you could see that taken into the game because – and the Bears have to decide how committed they are to the idea of Glennon versus potentially opening up that situation to be a quarterback battle. And with that comes the opportunity Sunday to get Trubisky those needed and important reps with the first-team offense. And Fox said today that his quote is probably not that you would be able to work Trubisky in with the first team and not have it impede with the
So you're telling me right now...
It's not just a next step to his development. It's also a sign that they are looking toward a quarterback battle. They know that if you open up those can of worms, and it's going to stay open, it's not going to be a clean process. So the Bears are certainly wary of that situation and how it will unfold. And there's some cautious right now. Fox wouldn't commit to anything, but he did leave open that door that you could see Trubisky getting some of those reps from the one. And once you start looking at that, I think that's when you consider this to be a quarterback battle.
So you're telling me right now that the Bears traded up to draft Mitchell Trubisky with the number 2 pick, and they have no plan as of August 21st on how to handle him.
Yeah, that's kind of where we are right now, but it's also with respect to Mike Glennon. This guy is supposed to be an asset to them, and they signed him. Forget the contract and everything else. their hope was that Mike Glennon could become an important asset to them in a sense. And by that, I mean, you look around the league and how rare it is to find, you know, top-end starting quarterbacks, but also bottom-end starting quarterbacks. Teams are really stretching to find, you know, their solutions for starters. The Bears are really hoping that they could have something in Glennon that could be a serviceable starter. Through two preseason games, it's been a rough look. Through much of the preseason and training camp, frankly, Glennon has been inconsistent. Not good early returns on that investment. Of course, it's an investment that they can cut off after this year and have just a minimal, you know, minimal buyout, that $3.5 million it would be if they were to let him go after this season. But the Bears are committed to seeing what they have in Mike Glennon. They hope to have an asset there where they could potentially turn that away to another team and get some good value back in return when the time is right.
Now, I know there was a lot of talk about so far this preseason, Mitchell Trubisky playing with the number threes. He took a lot of unnecessary hits, especially in that game against the Arizona Cardinals. My question to you is, can the Bears avoid evaluating or elevating Trubisky to the number two spot any longer?
Well, that's where you enter an interesting place. And Foss even today admitted as much as saying that they don't really need to see much of Mark Sanchez. So you can move Trubisky to that second team offense without kind of interfering with Glennon's place as the starter. I think that's a more likely scenario, but of course you could see him get those rest of the ones as well. Of course, it is a safety concern for Trubisky being behind a third team offensive line when you have a blitzing defense like the Cardinals. There was that hit he took in the end zone where his knee kind of buckled awkwardly, and that could have been awful for the Bears. So you do have to be wary not only of his health, but of what he's working with. And Tanner Gentry's been a very bright spot for them, the undrafted rookie pickup that they had. And, of course, Victor Cruz is working with him on the third team. So in terms of third team receivers, you've got a little bit of quality of looks there. But the Bears have to consider that next step in Trubisky's development, and that would be elevating him on the depth chart, whether that's with the twos or the ones.
Chris Emma with us from 670 The Score in Chicago, talking a little Bears football. What's going on with Kyle Long? You can't have Bears camp without a little drama.
Yeah, they're still easing him back. It's the ankle that's the issue, not the shoulder. You know, he went into this offseason of the surgery of the ankle in December, and then they let the shoulder heal naturally. That's supposed to be a non-issue. Everything's good there. When it comes to this ankle, it's a long process, and it's still ongoing. He's not 100% yet. I don't know if he'll be 100% entering week one, but the Bears have said that they believe he's on target for the regular season opener. Right now they're easing him with those reps, of course. You know, today he was not working with the first team offense, and they're still getting him back and getting him more comfortable. They've worked those alternatives that we've seen with Cody White here and Ronis Grassu moving around a little bit, Grassu getting the reps at center. So they're planning for that, you know, break glass in case of emergency situation. But Fox, if he's to be believed, says that they feel Long is on target. And we've seen signs of progress in terms of his usage and his reps during the preseason, where I guess you can believe it to an extent. But we're really going to find out once we get closer to that regular season opener how ready Kyle Long is. And, of course, once you get onto the field week one against Atlanta, you want your three-time Pro Bowl guard against a blitzing, attacking Falcons defense.
Now, Chris, I know a lot of the talk around this last draft class was that it was a developmental class, and I think one of the names that was used to drive that point home was Tariq Cohen. But the more that we've watched him the first couple of weeks, especially this past Saturday against the Arizona Cardinals where he got the start, he looks like he has that explosion. And he looks like he's kind of that ready-made number two change of pace back right away. Is that the sense that Bears fans and media members are starting to get about Tariq Cohen?
Without a doubt. He looks like that number two they had hoped to, you know, maybe identify. And, of course, it was going to be a long development process for Tariq Cohen because he's coming from the MEAC to the NFL. I think they expected it might take him a little bit more time in terms of, you know, identifying how he can be a defense, the ways he can work through, you know, the second level. That natural ability, though, is just there, and it's fine. You got a guy who can really hit that edge, move with authority. Tariq Cohen has been so impressive so far, and you just see that natural talent and explosion showing that he can hit that next level because he's faster than everybody else. You let that guy get into the open field, and you're in trouble. So really good signs from Tariq Cohen. And yes, I do believe right now that he's at number two that complemented Jordan Howard. Jeremy Langford hasn't done himself any favors by missing time with that ankle injury. Kadeem Carey, his place is valued because of special teams. I don't know how much of a role he's going to have in the backfield. Benny Cunningham serves a role in special teams. But right now, we saw a great glimpse of it on Saturday night. Cohen looks like that backfield complement.
You mentioned Jeremy Langford. Is he in danger of not making the 53-man roster?
I certainly think that because he's not been available so far. He's certainly lost his place to Cohen to this point, and he doesn't have that special teams value. So he's going to be looked at differently from somebody like Carey or Cunningham, who can step in and play a role in the special teams game. Unless he takes on a special teams role, first of all, getting back to the field in full strength, and then takes on a special teams role in the next 2 weeks, which I think is highly unlikely, then, yeah, I think Langford's in jeopardy. The Bears, I think, also want to keep a fullback around, whether that's veteran Michael Burden or rookie Freddie Stevenson. That's another spot on the roster gone. They could conceivably keep Langford around just because of their belief in him and what he could be as a, you know, as a backup running back. But it really depends on how Ryan Pace and the Bears coaching staff has value for Jeremy Langford and how much value that is.
Chris Emma with us for just a few more minutes from 670, The Score in Chicago. Are there one or two names that you can throw out there, maybe guys that Bears fans may not know right now but could know week one? Who's going to come out of nowhere this year?
Yeah, I think it's a name that people are getting to know. Another rookie that we talked about, Trubisky and Cohen, and Eddie Jackson, who I wrote about today, has really been impressive. This is a good look at him on Saturday night as well. They've got that open competition at safety, and I think Jackson is emerging as that starter because they gave Adrian Amos the chance as the incumbent to take over that spot, and I think we've seen enough of him. He's played two seasons. He's played 31 NFL games, and he has zero interceptions, and he's not getting to the football enough where you can keep him back there and just say he's got bad wealth. Amos has not shown that tendency to be a playmaker in the secondary. Jackson, on the other hand, had 6 interceptions back in 2015 in Alabama's title run. Valuable piece and a guy who would have gone much higher in the draft if not for that broken leg he suffered last October. Jackson's healthy. He's back at 100%, and he's been a ball hawk throughout the preseason. So the rise of Eddie Jackson has been a very good storyline. It's something I think the Bears, it's working out just as the Bears could have hoped. And then the other name, I think offensively, you have to look at Kendall Wright as kind of a marker outside. Somebody Mike Lennon's kind of valuing. I think Kendall Wright's going to have a steady role within this offense. And he's somebody that's had a pretty good preseason and kind of earned his place in that slot spot.
Chris, really quick before we let you go, and I'm taking a look at a CSN poll who should be the first team offense on Sunday. It's Trubisky winning 94% of the vote right now over on CSN Chicago, but I don't want to let you go without asking a White Sox question. The youth movement is sort of underway here, another injection or two at the big league level. What are your thoughts on starting to see some of these young guys with the big league club here toward the end of 2017?
Yeah, this is a fun time. The White Sox, of course, have long faded in the standings, but you're seeing the youth movement take its fruition. And Carson Fulmer starts tonight. Lucas Giolito starts tomorrow. Moncada's been at the big league level. Reynaldo Lopez has arrived already. You're seeing the beginning of this rebuild take place. And the thing to remember is that Rich Hahn was able to make these moves mostly by acquiring guys near or close to the big league level. You know, the exception is Eloy Jimenez or something like Luis Robert who they signed. But Giolito had already pitched in the big leagues. Moncada had played in the big leagues last year. Kopech is a step closer now in Double-A. Lopez pitched in the big leagues last year. So you got guys that they've acquired that it's important that they are close to the big league level. Different from, you know, where the Cubs were when their rebuild was based on these position players who were being drafted. Somebody like Russell as well was in Double-A when they acquired him. So the White Sox have got guys who are close to the big league level. We're going to see this. The beginning stages are coming to fruition here in the next month and a half. And leading into 2018, a season where the White Sox most likely won't be near contention, will probably be a last-place team up again. There's going to be a lot of intrigue with that young core and how it takes place, and it's beginning now.
You are not allowed to use the name Eloy Jimenez when you join us on the program moving forward. I'm still a little sore over losing him to the White Sox. Chris Emma from 670 The Score in Chicago. Great stuff as always.
Hey, take care.
Yeah, that one's probably going to wind up hurting. Unless he doesn't pan out. He's going to pan out. Sometimes I close my eyes at night and I see that ball sailing toward the batter's eye at the All-Star game last year in Cedar Rapids.
Forget that.
I wonder.
Down by three.
Yeah. Ties it up. Or gives them the lead.
And apparently he looked to the third base dugout and told them he was going to hit a home run.
Yeah. Wonder if Chris has any sources close to the team.
I bet he does.
He does. He does. 551. I'll tell you what right now. 319-366-1600. Caller number six. You are going to win not one, not two, not three, but four wristbands to Fry Fest. The post-Fry Fest concert this year featuring the Pork Tornadoes. It's going to be a good time, and the wristbands are all yours. 319-366-1600. Caller number six. We'll find out who our winner is when we return after this.
It's almost September.
I know.
Pumpkin spice. Everything. Sweatshirts. Football games.
Capital credits.
Yay, September.
Wait, what?
September's Linn County REC's Capital Credit Month.
Oh, wait, is that that thing where we get money credited to our bill?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that month. Linn County REC is so cool.
Yeah, since they're a cooperative, when they have profits above what they need to operate, it comes back to members like us on our September bill.
I wonder how much they've given back.
Well, the last I heard, it was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's incredible.
I know. Wonder how much credit I'll get this year.
Me too.
Let's go get lattes, hang out by the mailbox, and wait for our September bills to come.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
Okay.
When your September bill arrives from Linn County REC, take a look and find out what your capital credit is this year. It's all based on how much electricity you use. Capital credits, just another one of the benefits of membership at Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative. Find out more at linncountyrec.com.
If he takes it all the way, you don't have to pay. Here at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, we're kicking off football season in a huge way. Here's how. You come to Siebke Hoyt Jewelers for our big kickoff sale on Friday, August 25th through Sunday, August 27th. And you save up to 25% on that engagement ring, anniversary band, or that big pair of diamond studs you've always wanted. Plus, there'll be tailgating food and chances to win game tickets. Then, you go home a very happy person. Then you turn on the TV and watch the Iowa versus Wyoming game. And if the home team returns the opening or halftime kickoff for a touchdown, your jewelry is free. Yeah, if he takes it all the way, you don't have to pay. So, you could save up to 25% on your purchase, and there's a chance you may get it free. It's the 6th annual kickoff sale at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, Friday, August 25th through Sunday, the 27th. We're Siebke Hoyt, where Cedar Rapids gets engaged and loves football.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. Most of you are aware that we have really amazing lease and finance specials going on right now on most of our new Toyotas or outstanding cash back options. It's the perfect time for you to come see us and check out the options and all the details. However, many of you may not be fully aware of our fantastic Toyota Certified Used Vehicle Program, which includes 12 months or 12,000 miles of comprehensive warranty, 7 years of limited powertrain warranty, and 1 year of roadside assistance. These vehicles must also pass a 160-point inspection before they can be certified. Also, all used vehicles we sell here at Toyota of Iowa City come with free oil changes and tire rotations for 2 full years with no mileage restrictions. So if you're in the market for a new Toyota or for a really dependable used vehicle, Toyota of Iowa City has got you covered. Come on in and get all the details at Toyota of Iowa City. We're on Highway 1 right off 218 in Iowa City.
You know that old saying, time is money? Well, that couldn't be truer when it comes to real estate these days. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and how that affects how much you sell your home for. If you tried to sell it a while back and couldn't get your price, let Doug McAllister and Pinnacle give it another try. The time has never been better than right now to get your price. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
555, congratulations to Charlie in Cedar Rapids. He's going to be heading south in a couple weeks to Fry Fest, courtesy of our good friends at Fry Fest. And you know who sponsors Fry Fest? Midwest One Bank. They also bring you big board updates right here with Kyle Mann.
The Iowa baseball team won its first game at the World University Games in Taiwan on Sunday, beating Mexico 3-2. Things were tied at 1, and Iowa had actually been held hitless after 7 innings, but a rally capped by RBIs by Tyler Cropley and Brett McCleary gave Iowa all the cushion they needed. They're off today sightseeing in Taiwan, but will take on Russia tomorrow. The first AP Top 25 poll was released today, and neither Iowa nor Iowa State received any votes. Alabama is your preseason number one, with Ohio State coming in as the Big Ten's top-ranked team at number two, along with Penn State 6th, Wisconsin 9th, and Michigan 11th. Oklahoma tops the Big 12 at number 7. The Colonels beat the Beloit Snappers 3 times over the weekend and announced a roster move today before going for the sweep in a noon game at Veterans Memorial Stadium. Pitcher Tyler Wells is back with the team after a stint with the Gulf Coast League Twins, and Evan Sanders is headed to the 7-day DL. The Colonels did finish that 4-game sweep this afternoon, led by Royce Lewis notching his first home run. They won 5-4 and are hitting the road to begin a series with Kane County tomorrow. The Twins have another doubleheader today. They're playing Game 1 with the White Sox right now. The Sox lead that one 5-1 in the fifth. And we're going to pick up Game 2, scheduled to start right after our show. It's going to be Dylan G on the hill for the Twins, and Carson Fulmer called up as the 26th man to make his season debut for the Sox. You'll be able to hear that on 107.5 FM, The North, Jim.
This is great. I didn't get in on this earlier, but apparently some of our coworkers in the building went outside and put their eclipse glasses on earlier today, including our very own Scott Unash. They did not get to see the eclipse because it was very cloudy, but they did spot something else, and it was a giant turkey dropping right out in front of the station.
That's just entry insult to injury.
You can see that video on Z102.9's Facebook page. Video. Hour number three is, yes, video, Kyle. Hour number three is next.
At 6 a.m., 40 million Americans are waking up to a Gillette shave. And at our factory in Boston, 1,200 workers are starting their day building on over 100 years of heritage and innovation. Today, we're bringing you America.